And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of, can you believe it, November 6th, 2020. Today we're joined by our co-host, the author and educator, Ms. Mariah Tinger. How are you doing, Mariah?
I am well, and I'm looking forward, maybe looking forward is not the right word, but excited to talk to you about the curious demise of our commitment to the Paris Climate Agreement, which is now official.
So, Mariah, we are recording this show on Wednesday evening, the 5th of November. Just to be clear, events are happening so fast that we just want to put ourselves in the proper context. November 6th. But so we don't know what exactly is going to happen going forward. But we do know one thing that is absolutely has happened, and that happened the day after the election on November 4th, 2020. And the thing that absolutely has happened and is not conditional at all is the fact that the United States has basically left, departed, quit, jumped out of something called the Paris Accord. The Paris Accord, very briefly, for the people who may not have been following the bouncing ball a few years ago, the Paris Accord was signed in, of course, the city of Paris in December of 2015, which was towards the end of the Obama presidency. It is the first international agreement to address climate change. And it was, at the time, it was a huge, huge success and continues to be the single dominant framework for addressing climate change around the world. The hallmark of the Paris Accord is that everything that is all the actions promised under the Paris Accord are voluntary, right? There's no mandatory anything. But the idea was that every country would do what it can, and that the common effort to name and shame the people who weren't taking action would be sufficient discipline to get the world going in the right direction. Lots of complaints about whether or not that's a good plan, whether or not the Paris agreements, the commitments to reduce carbon dioxide, whether or not they're sufficient. You talk about it, but it is a program, right? Mariah, tell me what's your memory of the Paris Accord?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be in Paris when it all went down. It was a very exciting time. And I think, of course, what was notable about it is that it was this sort of whole world coming together to agree that climate change was a high priority and that we were all going to work together to address it. It was a really beautiful and exciting moment when everyone said, all right, we're gonna make this happen. And there were all kinds of behind the scenes negotiations and discussions, and it was quite complicated to get everyone on board with it. Took a whole lot of effort, and as you mentioned, there were certainly problems with it. It's non-binding, it's voluntary, and all of that. But just the fact that everybody came together and said, okay, this is a priority, we're all going to address this, it was a really big deal. And so that's why November 4th, 2020. Was such a sad day, because it officially pulled us out. Now, that's not to say that we can't get back into it. If under a new administration, if the new administration were to decide, or the existing administration changes its mind and wanted to get back into it in January, we could do that. I think it's like a 30-day lead time, right? You have 30 days, you sign something, and then launches.
So what I saw was that there is a window. It may not even be 30 days. I think there's 30 days after you submit a letter. So let me just say, Mariah, you're very kind to walk carefully. But I mean, I think that the election's over. We can recognize that Joe Biden's sitting in a favorable position, right? And it's our pious hope that Joe Biden is the next president. And if he were to become the next president, he has promised on day one, in quotation marks, he's going to be a busy man on the first day of his administration if he's fortunate enough to get elected. One of the things he would do is to rejoin the Paris Accord. And what I saw said that he sends a letter. Let's just back up. We were in the Paris Accord until Donald Trump in 2017, I think it was, decided to pull us out. Okay. And what that did was to trigger a 4-year long process to leave the Paris Accord. So the Obama administration was smart enough to build into the statement of the Paris Accord that it would take 4 years to pull out. As the way the dates all worked out, the first day the United States could leave happened to be the day after the election. So when Trump pulled us out of the Paris Accord in like 2016 or 2017, a long time ago, that clock has been ticking and just became effective the 4th of November, 2020. So given that, it turns out that we will only be officially out of the Paris Accord for a couple of months. My understanding is that Biden could send a letter to the Secretary General of the UN saying we want to rejoin. And then within 30 days of that, he would have to restate some kind of national commitment for reducing greenhouse gases. Right.
Yeah. And I think notable there is that while officially we didn't leave the Paris Climate Agreement until November 4th, 2020, we've been, you know, so many of the actions that Trump has done has completely eroded our ability to meet what some of our pledges were to that agreement. So when Biden assumes the presidency and signs back onto the Paris Agreement, he's going to have his work cut out for him to catch back up on all of those lapsed efforts.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it will, as various authors have said, it's like, yeah, as they say, all the metaphors you can think of, like trying to saddle a horse while you're riding it, right? Fix the airplane engine as you're flying along. I mean, the Paris Accord has been underway for the last 4 years, and most of the rest of the world is making progress and, in fact, making bigger and bigger commitments, which commit there. They've got a 4-year head start on a lot of the technologies and planning it would take to reduce their emissions. So we have to do our best to catch up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Prime Minister of Japan said its economy would be carbon neutral by 2050, and China and the European Union have both agreed to do that as well. And so they're really speeding ahead. And as you said, it's, you know, the technology, when that's the direction you're going, your technology keeps up with that and gets better and better, and you have all kinds of innovation happening. And we're still stuck in this old-fashioned horse and buggy kind of, you know, electricity movement thing. So yeah, I mean, I think we have a lot of work. And I actually think it's also it's notable that, as we mentioned, it's a voluntary agreement. There's nothing binding, but there's a whole lot of sort of naming and shaming that happens along with this, right? Where the peer pressure of all of the rest of the countries are what are supposed to kind of keep things moving. And so, you know, having us show up and be way behind, you know, we're going to be the last in the line when we show up. So
we have talked for many, many years now about the different sort of conference of the parties, the COP meetings that the UN has. The next big conference of the party is scheduled for Glasgow, Scotland in November of 2021. So what I saw somewhere said that in November of 2021, the United States has to have updated, improved commitments to reduce its carbon emissions. That is to say, I mean, all the buzzwords that float around this, that we want to, the ambition, we have to have increased ambition to reduce our carbon emissions. We need to put out a plan in November of 2021. And not only do you have to have a commitment, you have to have a plan to back it up. Right, that's the, again, that's the name and shame thing. Right, you can't just go in and say, "Yo, we're gonna rely on pixie dust and unicorns to get us over the mark here." Right, you have to have some sort of credible plan. Obama had a credible plan in the Clean Power Plan, which of course Judge Alito, who's gone on to meet his maker, right? But Judge Alito killed that plan years ago. So now Joe Biden, assuming he becomes president, it's going to have to cobble together some sort of credible plan to reduce carbon emissions even more than Obama had promised, just to prove the United States is a leader in this Paris Accord process. And there's something I saw said, you know, the rest of the world's skeptical because George W. Bush pulled us out of the Kyoto Accord, right? And then Trump comes along and pulls us out of the Paris Accord. So the rest of the world's saying, you guys need to get your proverbial act together and figure out, are you really in this game, or is every 4 years you're going to do a 180-degree flip back and forth forever?
The so, hokey pokey is our friend D.R. used to call it.
Tucker, you're right. But I mean, how does the United States reestablish global leadership in this world, in this field, where in a place where Trump is basically, I don't want to use grotesque phrases, but I mean, Trump has basically thumbed his nose at the rest of the world. How do we expect him now to come and lead them when, in fact, they're marching away?
Yeah, and I think it's important to note how critical it is for us to be part of this agreement. You know, we are the second largest emitter of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. And if we do not join this and do not strive for reducing our emissions drastically, not only will it continue to have consequences that are affecting us, we're seeing the wildfires, we're seeing the hurricanes, so on and so forth, but it'll have dire consequences for low-lying and poor countries. And so it's crucial that we're back into this. This is a matter of life and death for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the stuff I've seen also says, and I think we've said it on the show, it's like rejoining the Paris Accord is the zeroth level thing, right? Of course you're going to join the Paris Accord, right? If you don't do that, then so that's really not very ambitious, right? The question is, what are you really and truly going to do? And I think our leadership, our global leadership expressed through the Paris Accord has to be derived from internal American efforts to honestly face the climate crisis. Right. And so Joe Biden has the $2 trillion climate plan. And if we can get that enacted, that would get us a long way down the road. Right. That's the kind of thing that would give us some credibility. Right.
Yeah. And of course, I think it's always important. It will also create a lot of jobs. So it's not going to tank the economy.
Oh, yes, this is true. Always, always, always. What did Joe Biden say? He calls it a hoax. He sees a hoax. I see jobs. Right. So. What we can do is we should put it down there. But I mean, that the one of the things I hope we can look forward to is a move back to the Paris Accord. We'll probably be seeing more of discussion about this over the next weeks and months, because it is the global framework for addressing climate change. We've had a little hiccup that came in on the 4th of November. And if things stay on a good course, we'll be able to re-engage with the Paris Accord process and again demonstrate American leadership sometime next year. Right, Mariah?
That's true.
So what we'll do is we'll put up some links to some of the articles that explain stuff about the Paris Accord on the website, on the blog of the website. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about anything, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.org. Say that again, podcast@massclimateaction.net. You can listen to the show on all of your modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask your friends to listen to it on their modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank D.R. Tucker for his continuing research and providing us the grist, so to speak, for our discussions each week. Right, Mariah? We want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of those things, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and an environmentally just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So thanks so much for being here, Mariah.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Very cool.